Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
A closing window. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, February 9th, glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
As the death toll crosses 16,000 from earthquakes in Turkey and Syria, the odds of finding more people alive are falling.
Former executives of Twitter testify that they made mistakes in blocking links to Hunter Biden laptop stories before the election.
Questions remain regarding the Chinese spy balloon. Meanwhile, the Pentagon says the one it shot down was part of a fleet.
And Democrats concerned about the loss of blue-collar voters ahead of the 2024 presidential election.
You saw him talking about how blue-collar workers felt like the Democratic Party forgot about them. You saw that shift where another person in the story talks about this is a base that had traditionally been for the Democratic Party, but you saw, especially in the 2016 election, it start to shift towards Republicans.
Francesca Chambers at USA Today on efforts by Democrats to woo back working-class voters. Rescuers for a fourth day today are pulling more survivors from beneath the rubble of collapsed buildings, but hopes were starting to fade of finding many more people alive after catastrophic earthquakes hit Turkey and Syria, killing more than 16,000. Some who died in Turkey were refugees from Syria's 11-year-old civil war. Their body bags arrived at the border in taxis, vans, and piled atop flatbed trucks to be taken to final resting places in their homeland. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
We're a leading provider of humanitarian assistance to Syria, to the Syrian people, not to the government. And working through these partners, we've tried to make sure that the assistance gets to where it's needed.
International aid agencies were struggling to help survivors in rebel-held territory in northern Syria. An estimated 60,000 suffered injuries during the quakes. Tens of thousands are thought to have lost their homes. In Antakya, former residents of a collapsed building in Turkey huddled around an outdoor fire overnight into today, wrapping blankets tightly around themselves to try and stay warm. Former executives at Twitter say they made mistakes in limiting the reach of news articles about Hunter Biden ahead of the 2020 presidential election. James Baker is former deputy general counsel at Twitter.
I think that the best reading of the law is that as a private entity, the First Amendment protects Twitter and its content moderation decisions.
Those testifying before the House Oversight Committee say Twitter blocked the sharing of links to two New York Post articles containing disclosures from emails found on the laptop of President Biden's son out of concern they might have been obtained by hacking. Kentucky Republican James Comer.
Twitter, under the leadership of our witnesses today, was a private company. The federal government used to accomplish what it constitutionally cannot, limit the free exercise of speech.
Republicans said Twitter appeared to be protecting then-candidate Joe Biden from damaging disclosures. The Pentagon now says a Chinese spy balloon that was shot down last week and several others that crossed into U.S. territory were part of a broader surveillance effort by Beijing over five continents. Spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder says the surveillance balloon program has been operating for several years. President Biden says he ordered the craft shot down last week, but the military advised waiting until it was over water to minimize risks to people on the ground. Critics include Ohio Republican Congressman Mike Turner.
They did on their own offer that they should have never been allowed to go over the United States. So clearly, you know, they had the same angst that we did, which is why was this balloon allowed to complete its mission? Why did the president make that decision?
Meanwhile, officials are set to brief members of the House and Senate separately today. Also, it's still not clear if we ever would have heard about the balloons if civilians hadn't spotted the one that was eventually shot down on Saturday off the coast of South Carolina. The military, by the way, is still working to recover debris.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for joining us. President Biden's description of how infrastructure investments will benefit middle-class families is not resonating with blue-collar workers, especially white voters who did not attend college. He tried to shore up his message during a stop yesterday at a union training facility in the battleground state of Wisconsin.
A lot of Republicans, their dream is to cut Social Security, Medicare. Well, let me just say this. It's your dream, but I'm going to my veto pen make it a nightmare.
Meanwhile, many blue-collar voters defected from the Democratic Party over the past decade and offered Mr. Biden lukewarm support in the last presidential election. Now what? Here's Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent at USA Today. Francesca, still weeks away, I guess, from a re-election announcement.
Well, it could be weeks. You know, the Democrats that we've been talking to say that they would expect an announcement in March or April. And in our story, you know, we quote some folks, including Ron Klain, the outgoing White House chief of staff, who talked about this publicly, as well as the DNC chair, who were very clear in suggesting that he is indeed running for re-election.
What's the status with blue collar voters and with regards to the Democratic Party?
Well, I'll be curious to see after President Biden's State of the Union address, when we get polling on that, what those numbers look like again, because leading into the State of the Union address, his message to the middle class just wasn't resonating with them. And we saw that in poll after poll when he describes how his infrastructure programs are helping Americans. They're just not seeing that translate directly to their pocketbooks.
Do we know why that is, Francesca? Is it an actual messaging problem, or there are
That's
just some
Democrats.
Americans that are not seeing the tangible results?
That's how Democrats who are close to the White House view this. You know, in our story, we talked to some Democratic lawmakers who are saying that Biden needs to get out there. Also, he needs to be in the communities like he was last night in Wisconsin and like he was last week in Pennsylvania. So it's a combination of both the message, but also they said that he needs to be out there in the community talking to union workers, talking to everyday Americans.
Mm. All right. So how does he do that? I guess somebody in your story said just show up. I mean, is it that easy, or does the writing need to be different? Does the delivery need to be different? Does the messenger sometimes need to be different?
Well, Joe Biden hopes that showing up to Pennsylvania repeatedly will help him in the next election. But to your point, some of it is the messaging. And again, you saw him talking about how blue collar workers felt like the Democratic Party forgot about them. You saw that shift where another person in the story talks about this is a base that had traditionally been for the Democratic Party. But you saw, especially in the 2016 election, it start to shift towards Republicans. And so Joe Biden was able to win more of these voters in 2020, but they could be a deciding demographic group in the 2024 election, and certainly in deciding states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, those Rust Belt states.
We're speaking with Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent at USA Today. Her story is called As Biden Prepares 2024 Re-election Run, Democrats Worry Blue-Collar Voters Are Slipping Away. I was surprised, I guess, by the drill down in the specific voter, I guess, that they're looking for. The non-college educated woman over 50.
Well, they're looking for blue-collar workers also more broadly in those states. But yes, when it comes to some of those groups that they were drilled down on, and you look at the exit polling from the last election and also from the midterm elections, it tells you a lot about the way that voters are moving. And again, Donald Trump in 2016 was able to peel off enough of those voters to win. And so Democrats heading into 2024 are trying not to make the same mistakes that they saw as costing them the White House at that time.
There was a stat quoted in your story too from a poll. I think 41% of voters say their or at least respondents say their situation has become worse under President Biden in terms of their personal financial situation. Is that the number one issue that he and the administration are trying to address, that type of polling?
Economy, jobs. You saw this in his State of the Union, where he spent a good portion of the speech on this exact issue and trying to drive home this message to middle class Americans that he sees them, that he is concerned about the economy. I mean, if you look at the speech as a whole, he spent comparatively little time talking about foreign policy. Some folks were surprised he did not talk more about China, for instance, but he did spend a lot of time talking about the economy.
What is it that fellow Democratic lawmakers say in Congress want to hear?
Democratic lawmakers have a mix of things that they want to hear from the president. I think more of what they heard, they thought, generally speaking, if you look at the reactions to it, that he had, that he did a pretty good job connecting with voters. So again, it's more of that, more of what they saw, and maybe a little bit less of the dry talk about infrastructure that, while very important to everyday Americans who are concerned about lead pipes and bridges, it just might not connect with their financial situations personally.
Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent at USA Today. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Hopes are dwindling of finding people still alive under collapsed buildings caused by earthquakes that rocked Turkey and Syria Monday, with rescuers now focusing on recovering bodies and finding shelter for survivors. Rescuers continue to dig through the rubble, but the number of survivors found is slowed to a trickle. Pentagon Press Secretary Pat Ryder says the U.S. is sending aid.
We have U.S. helicopters that are supporting Turkish response efforts in very hard-to-reach areas. We're in close contact with the Turkish government.
The death toll has surpassed 16,000.
Number two.
The man accused of killing 23 people and wounding 22 more in a racist attack on an El Paso Walmart in 2019 has pleaded guilty to federal hate crime charges. 24-year-old Patrick Cruzius agreed to accept 90 consecutive life sentences for the mass shooting. Authorities say he traveled from his home in the Dallas area to the largely Latino Texas border city in an effort to kill as many Hispanics as possible.
Number three.
The UK is considering sending advanced jets to Ukraine and will begin training Ukrainian pilots in coming months. A major victory for President Volodymyr Zelensky, who made a surprise visit to European allies yesterday to lobby Western governments to provide more air power to counter a growing Russian offensive.
You didn't compromise Ukraine. And hence, you didn't compromise your ideals. And thus, you didn't compromise the spirit of these great islands. Thank you very much.
If the UK goes ahead, it would be the first country to pledge to provide advanced Western jet fighters to Ukraine. Western governments warned such a move could be escalatory and they could be used to hit targets inside Russia. LeBron James's move to the top of the NBA's all-time scoring list has again sparked debate about the greatest of all time, James, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan. The question may never be settled, but it's clear who the greatest earner of all time is, Jordan, by a lot. Forbes says Jordan is worth $1.7 billion compared to James's $1 billion. Most of Jordan's money has come from his deal with Nike.
LeBron James never hit a major league curveball.
That's true.
Well, neither did Michael Jordan, really, for that matter. If you're financing the holiday season on credit cards, Lightstream is here to help. A credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 7.99% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Get up to $100,000 with no added fees, and you might even get your money on the day you apply. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. To get it, visit lightstream.com/deal. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 7.99% to 23.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit, terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/deal for more info. lightstream.com/deal. Glad you're with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell Technologies' President's Day business sale starts now, with savings on select business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-ASK-DELL. A new survey by Vanguard finds the vast majority of retirement savers weathered a stormy 2022 without tweaking their investments or bailing out of the market. More from Elizabeth O'Brien, senior personal finance writer at Barron's. Elizabeth, what are we learning?
Savers did really well last year, retirement savers. Only 6% made some changes to their 401ks, according to Vanguard. And, you know, part of that is admirable restraint. A lot of that's inertia. You know, 401k plans are kind of set it and forget it. So you keep on keeping on. Those automatic deductions come out of your paycheck, and people just sort of left it alone, which is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Did we have some I don't know, change of heart. I remember panicking in 2008 or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. I'm old enough to remember that, too. The great financial crisis of 2008. That was really scary, watching your 401k balance go down. Well, I think maybe since then there have been some changes to sort of automate the 401ks more to help people sort of stay the course as you're supposed to do. So yeah, it was definitely good news that people didn't panic and leave the market.
Yeah. So touch on that then, sort of the difference here between discipline and inertia.
Yes. Well, there, I guess it was probably a combination of both that kept people invested. Yeah. Discipline. But 401k plans are set up, to have you stay the course. A lot of people these days are automatically enrolled into your 401k plan. So you have to actively opt out if you don't want to participate. But once you join a company, oftentimes you're starting, they start you in the 401k. They automatically deduct a portion of your paycheck that goes into your account every pay period. And it's like set it and forget it. So that's where the inertia comes in. You have to proactively come in and stop if you want to stop those payroll deductions. And if you want to change the investment mix, like let's say you panicked and you wanted to go all to cash, for example, you would have to go in and make a change, and that requires work. So it's easier just to kind of stick with what you got. And that's by design.
We're speaking with Elizabeth O'Brien, senior personal finance writer at Barron's. Her story is called Even as the Market Tanked, Americans Didn't Touch Their 401ks. There's also the feature auto escalation, right, as part of this.
Yeah, that's a good feature. Last year, despite the markets tanking, 40% of retirement investors actually increased their contribution rate. So they started kicking in more. And about 15% of those people proactively went in and set their contribution rate like higher. But most of those people were automatically, they're enrolled in a plan where every year on a specific cadence, it bumps their contribution up by 1 percentage point. So say you're contributing 10% of your salary, next year it'll be 11%, 12%. And again, you don't have to do anything. It's just set to increase. And that's another best practice just to get people saving more. Hopefully you've gotten a raise so you can, contribute more without feeling it too much in your budget.
And we seem to like these target date funds.
Yeah. Yeah. Most retirement, over half of people with a 401k plan and related plans are in these target date funds. And you'll know you have one if there's a year in the name, like, if you're going to retire in 20 years, you'd be in the year 2043 target date fund. And the fund automatically will adjust the mix of stocks and bonds to get more conservative as you approach retirement. Because as you, get older and approach retirement, you're going to want a little bit more in bonds to cushion the stocks, the swings of stocks. So yeah, and they're good. I mean, for most people, they do the trick.
That's Elizabeth O'Brien, senior personal finance writer at Barron's. Dell Technologies President's Day business event starts now with deals to power America's doers and dreamers. Save on select performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for President's Day deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Tired of trying to separate fact from fiction? Get your information from a source you can trust. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, February 9. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Earthquake death toll in Turkey and Syria passes 16,000. Former Twitter executives say they made mistakes in blocking links to Hunter Biden laptop stories. The Chinese spy balloon is part of a fleet. Ukraine's president pleads with Britain for fighter jets. Disney to cut 7,000 jobs. New Zealand found $315 million worth of cocaine floating in the ocean. Big NBA trade Kevin Durant from Brooklyn to Phoenix. And the UConn women's basketball team has now lost back-to-back games for the first time in 30 years. For a different take on the destruction in Syria after Monday's devastating earthquake, we turn to an NGO, a non-government organization. We're joined by Dr. Mohammed Bakr Gebais, president of C4SSA, that's Citizens for a Safe and Secure America. This is a nonprofit that promotes democracy in Syria. He's also on staff at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Gebais, what are you hearing from the scene?
What is happening is definitely unprecedented. This is the probably the worst earthquake in that region over the last several decades. People are crying for help. Up until now, there are people under the rubbles, probably hundreds, if not thousands of people still under the rubbles. You know, the mounting numbers of casualties is, you know, aching. People until now are still hearing people, children from under the rubbles crying and mourning, you know, need to get out in the freezing temperature.
Yeah, it's a remarkable tale of survival for some of them, I presume, just given the weather that's happening right now.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's been a harsh winter. This northwest region of Syria, you know, is an area where millions of, you know, desperate people who have survived the war that, you know, Assad regime have launched on the whole people of Syria, and they happen to escape to that northwest region. So many of them are internally displaced. They have very basic, you know, living situation and, you know, somewhat poor infrastructure in the whole region. So many have, you know, survived other, I guess, man-made disaster now to be faced by this natural, you know, disaster.
Yeah. Since the United States and Syria are not allies, Washington does not help Damascus directly with aid in these situations, right? How difficult does that make things?
The USA and, you know, the Western allies have taken, you know, stand on the political behavior of Assad regime. You know, this family, this murderer family of Syria, have been in control for the last 50 years. And they've crushed the country over the 5 decades. So dealing with these type of, you know, regimes is, you know, can be a challenge. And I think, you know, the United States have taken, you know, a stand about not dealing directly with such regimes, because, you know, honestly, any money and it has in the past will just go through their system, and they will, you know, they'll be profiting firsthand from any aid money. So I think they are right in the fact that the aid should go to the right, you know, to the needy and, mm-hmm. and, you know, and target. And at the moment, there are a lot of, you know, volunteered NGOs inside that region who are capable and, you know, have a track record of being, you know, transparent and impactful.
We're speaking with Dr. Mohammed Bakr Ghebbais. He's the president of a group called C4SSA. That's the Citizens for a Secure and Safe America, a nonprofit that promotes democracy in Syria. And we're talking about the devastating earthquake. And boy, on top of all this, you've got 11 plus years of a civil war. Explain what your organization is doing now.
What we are trying to do is really trying to, you know, amplify the voice of voiceless. We have, you know, millions of people inside Syria and outside Syria. You know, several millions of Syrian people have also left the country. They, you know, they were forced to leave the country because of the, you know, aggression of Assad regime and its backers. So we're trying to amplify their voice, making sure, you know, they are heard, and, you know, the atrocities they are going through is being exposed. Again, a good example of that northwest region, because it's been out of control of Assad. A lot of, you know, civil-based and locals-based, you know, NGOs have been flourishing, doing a lot of great work. The White Helmet, for example, you know, that was highlighted. Their work was highlighted one time at, you know, Netflix. Have been doing, you know, unbelievable work, you know, trying to save people and victims. You know, and again, man-made disaster that, as was done before by Russia and, you know, and Assad. And now with this natural disaster, these people, you know, deserve help.
Dr. Mohammed Bakr Ghebbais from C4SSA. If you enjoy a few drinks with friends after work, working out, or on the weekend, you should try ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic. PhD scientists created this unique genetically engineered probiotic to help you avoid the rough morning after and get back to living your life. It's easy. Drink ZBiotics before you enjoy any alcohol, and it works throughout the night, breaking down the toxic alcohol byproduct that makes you feel awful the next day. So no matter what your tomorrow looks like, productive, playful, or just relaxing, don't let let a few drinks wreck it. Have a bottle of Z-Biotics before you drink. Practice healthy and responsible drinking habits, and you'll be ready to face the day. Right now, save 15% on your first order at zbiotics.com/Gordon. At checkout, use the code Gordon. Go for the six-pack and share with friends. If your night gets in the way of your day, Z-Biotics could help. Save 15% now at zbiotics.com/Gordon. zbiotics.com/Gordon. Always drink responsibly. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you know, it's a happy day around here because it's National Pizza Day. And while there's no wrong way to celebrate that involves grabbing a slice or two, there is no doubt that some pizza is better than others. Fox News asked Mark Bello, who operates a pizza-making school in New York City, what to look for, and he listed the five signs that you're walking into a bad slice shop. Number one, a too-good-to-be-true deal. Beware, he says, of shops trying to sell you on quantity of pizza over quality. Number two, sorry-looking slices. If the outer crust resembles the rim of a styrofoam cup in geometry, uniformity, and pale color, it's likely going to taste that way. Number three, using the wrong ingredients, which you can often see on display when you walk in. Number four, red flag, the shop's pizza is praised as great drunk food. Since good pizza should taste that way all the time, not just when you've had a few. And number five, the plain cheese slice isn't any good. If they can't make a great plain slice, the rest isn't going to get any better.
Yeah.
These are all good rules, I think.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to see, too, maybe rule number six, if you don't see enough grease on top of the pizza, I don't think it's going to be a good slice.
See, grease is a touchy subject. There are some people who are very anti-grease and some people who are
very
pro-grease. I'm kind of pro-grease myself.
I'm pro-grease. Sometimes I do like to sop it up.
Right.
If there's too much, but I do need to see some. I need to know that that slice is living and breathing.
You need to know that it existed in the first place.
Yes.
Right, because if it's not, I mean, it probably wasn't heated correctly. The cheese probably isn't of good quality. There's a lot of bad signs, but you don't see any grease at all.
Yeah. Also, if you had a go-to slice or a go-to pie, nobody else has any input. It's just your call.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about this. What are you getting?
Like, what type of pizza
am I getting? The one time once you got one shot for your favorite pie.
What's on it? Just, a standard New Jersey style pie with, pepperoni probably.
Pepperoni?
Yeah, I'm usually a pepperoni person. Yep.
Yep. I'll go with pretty much any meat. But if I was restricted on the meat, I think it'd have to be peppers and onions. I'm a peppers and onions guy.
I generally stay away from all vegetables and fruits on my pizza. It's meat or cheese only. It's a meat or cheese. Aside from the tomato sauce, it is a meat and cheese only environment as far as I'm concerned.
That's fine. Junk meat is a given, but beyond that for me, peppers and onions.
Agreed. And speaking of pizza and New York City, you'll remember all the fuss over the pizza rat a few years back with the rodent clearly going for quantity over quality while dragging a slice across a subway station floor. Now, one of his subway-dwelling friends has gone viral for getting a little too cozy with one dozing rider. In the video footage, a man is seen sleeping in a New York City subway car when a rat stowaway climbs up his leg and crawls all over his body. The clip is only 20 seconds long, but it seems like eons before the rider finally wakes up, though not fully realizing that the rodent is using his body as a jungle gym until it climbs over his shoulder, past his face, at which time he promptly stands up and shoos it off of him.
Wow. Wow.
Well, number one, jeez. I mean, this guy's got guts falling asleep on a New York City subway in the first place. You know you are a hardened rider of the subway if you're falling asleep. You do this every single day, probably multiple times a day. It's the only place you can get your sleep, and then you wake up and then there's a rat on you. You're probably never going to sleep again.
First thing I was going to say is, why are you sleeping on the subway?
Yeah.
I don't normally associate rats with being in the subway cars.
Yes.
I remember seeing them like on the ground running around by the rails, but that's
right. Yeah, that rat got dropped off in a whole new location. He's getting a whole new life for himself somewhere across town.
That is a different kind of creep right there. Thank you, Mike. Dell Technologies President's Day business event starts now with deals to power America's doers and dreamers. Save on select performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for President's Day deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Do color noises like white noise help you fall asleep? Sky News says they can drown out background noise with their different frequencies. White noise is often used to soothe babies, improve focus, and aid sleep in both adults and children. It can be heard in everyday life, from fans and air conditioners. So in short, it does a good job of masking outside noises by giving you consistent noise, but it can be disruptive if you're in an area that's already quiet. What about brown noise? It has a deeper and stronger tone, similar to the sound of a storm. Brown noise can trigger relaxation through low frequencies and is said to produce a sound that many people find soothing. Another color sound that some find helpful, green noise. That's a recording of nature sounds like a gentle waterfall. There's also pink noise. This type of sound contains all the frequency of white noise, but with a less pleasant and higher frequency of sounds at a quieter volume, like the gentle sound of rain. Bottom line, different people are helped by different sounds. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Teams continue to search for survivors after earthquakes hit Turkey and Syria Monday, with efforts complicated by snow and freezing temperatures and the window of survival closing fast for trapped victims. More than 16,000 people have been killed by the quakes, and the numbers expected to keep rising. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. aid is on the way.
We've deployed experienced emergency managers, hazardous materials technicians, engineers, logisticians, paramedics, planners, others, along with about 170,000 pounds of specialized tools and equipment.
Turkish President Erdogan visited the epicenter of the earthquake yesterday, saying the country is face to face with a great disaster. The scope of damage is raising concerns about the nation's already fragile economy.
Number two.
The Biden administration says China has operated a fleet of high-altitude balloons, like the one shot down by the Air Force, to carry out surveillance on five continents. Pentagon spokesman Pat Ryder is refuting China's claims the airship was a civilian research craft.
They have a lot of explaining to do when it comes to conducting these types of programs and violating nations' airspace and sovereignty.
A closed-door briefing on the balloon for all U.S. senators scheduled for today.
Number three.
A couple of blockbuster trades in the NBA as the Phoenix Suns acquired superstar Kevin Durant from the Brooklyn Nets. For 13-time All-Star Durant and forward T.J. Warren, the Suns will be sending over three current players and four first-round picks to the Nets. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Lakers have reached a deal to trade guard Russell Westbrook to the Utah Jazz and acquire guard D'Angelo Russell from Minnesota in a three-team deal. But Westbrook is expected to seek a buyout from the Jazz so he can join a potential contender. The average ticket price to attend the Super Bowl in Glendale now hovering around $9,000, according to secondary market ticket platform TicketIQ. For attendees of the game between the Eagles and Chiefs, that's just the beginning. According to analytics firm AirDNA, the average booked lodging rate in Glendale in advance of Super Bowl weekend was about $740 a night. Last weekend, a short-term rental in Glendale went for $225 a night.
Supply and demand 101. Thank you, Jen. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect? The taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for joining us. Delavonte Johnson didn't have to go out of his way to return a lost wallet to a complete stranger, but he did when the 19-year-old returned the wallet that Dee Harkrider of Wynn, Arkansas had unknowingly left in a Walmart shopping cart last month. He sparked an unlikely friendship. USA Today says the pair have stayed in touch since then. Mr. Johnson was welcomed as a visitor to Ms. Harkrider's church, and she plans to visit his church in return. Mr. Johnson tried Facebook messaging Ms. Harkrider, but got no response when he found the wallet, so he checked her recent photos reactions to find a friend of hers to contact, and that worked. When Mr. Johnson returned her wallet, Ms. Harkrider thanked him with $20 that she pulled from it and wished she had more to give. Mr. Johnson, who was not seeking a reward, said that cash was plenty. When people ask why he bothered to drive about 20 miles to track down Ms. Harkrider, he says he was simply brought up to do the right thing. Ms. Harkrider called him an angel sent from God. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka and Mike Gavin, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.